Right now on VFN TV, we have Dr. Russ Moyer, an author, speaker, and the president and founder of Eagle Worldwide Ministries and senior pastor of Dwelling Place Church in Pensacola, Florida. Eagle Worldwide is a network of over 250 connected ministers, ministries, and churches based in Canada and the United States. Dr. Russ and his beautiful wife, Maeve, pioneered 8 churches in North America, as well as founded the International Coalition of Prophetic Leaders, where they serve in alignment with the International Coalition of Apostolic Leaders. They are the founder of Eagle Worldwide Community Enrichment and the Center for Excellence, which provides empowerment, educational, and training programs for the underprivileged. The project includes the Kingsway Center, where over 300 clients are fed and served each day free of charge in the inner city of Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. Dr. Ross and Pastor Maeve travel extensively around the world, ministering within the apostolic and the prophetic gifting that God's given them. They have a heart to mentor the next generation into their God-given call and destiny. Right now, Dr. Russ Moyer on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
He told me something else specifically too about the shift that you're talking about. Is that I was in the education realm in a school, actually a young school. We would say in America, grammar school, but like grade 5 through 1 or something. Teachers are there, all that stuff's going on. And all of a sudden, God pours his glory out on the school. And the kids immediately have no hesitation. They're praying for each other. They're all under the presence of God, the glory of God. Somebody in the public started being critical of the of what was happening, and immediately somebody stood up and dealt with that. But the kids, it was totally unbothered. Then the teachers, seeing what the glory of God was doing in the school with the kids, then the teachers started just this is where they wanted to go. Then the whole community started coming because the glory of God just draws everyone, right? And so this is all happening, and then all of a sudden this choir, but it's more like a, you know, just people from society that's lived their life, and they could sing, they came together and they started singing. But they had like street clothes on and just not worn out clothes, but just clothes that had been worn. And they were singing, and it was, I don't think it was even a church song, but it was a song, it was a beautiful song. And it was very moving. And then all of a sudden, somebody in the entertainment mountain, so we're in the education mountain, glory's being poured out. Now somebody in the entertainment mountain is talking to me, and they said, you know, they saw that need, and they saw those people that were singing, and that they went through these challenges in life and all of that. And said, I want to give where there's never a want again.
Wow.
But that, you know, they didn't have the ability to handle wealth yet because they've had wealth and it's just gone through their hands like holes in a bowl. And so then she says, you know, I'm going to go ahead and give it. That's where VFN Kingdom Business, you know, he's literally, I had a VFN TV card, right? And then God already told me that it's supposed to be VFN Kingdom Business, focusing on the seven mountains of cultures and things like that. Because we were going to give many grants out to people as they build their character and ability to handle great wealth. God wants so bad to get great wealth to his people, but we have to have the integrity and character and ability to manage great wealth. Yeah. It's not
That's
simple
right.
as just a check showing up in the mail. You got to be able to handle it. And so she was going to give it to KB and probably other things just like VFN KB that can sit there and work with the people to bring them to the next level. And it's just exciting. So there was just a sudden wealth that I'm noticing right now. I can't tell you all their names, but God is touching the entertainment industry where they're unashamedly coming out for Jesus Christ. I know at the, I don't normally watch it, but somebody sent it, was the Country Music Awards, CMA or something, that a drummer and a group died that night during the awards, got killed in a tragic car accident in L.A., and I don't know where the awards were, but the person who came up got their award said this: listen, I don't know if you're okay with this, but I just feel like we need to pray. And the first thing he said, God, we love you. And he acknowledged God, and he began to pray for the family that had the loss and the band that had the loss. And he said, Jesus, I love you. And this is over the entire, the entertainment industry. And we're seeing artists now come out with songs about Jesus and about the Word of God unashamedly, and they're moving, migrating to that. And they're remembering their roots. And so you're starting to see, and that's where the, you know, most of the wealth has been given, you know, to entertainment. Mm-hmm. They just shoves that way. You can play basketball, you can play football, you can do some sort of form of entertainment and media.
Sure.
It's where it's gone to.
I think the seven mountains and realms of influence that are in our society are going to be touched. I believe the next great move of the Spirit is going to be not just to the church, but through the church.
Yeah.
And we're going to break outside the four walls of a building, and a lot of the things that happen are going to happen actually in the marketplace.
Right.
I've just been to a couple of political functions where the politicians are open to hear things, and you can speak things again. And it's, so it's an amazing moment now in the political arena. And now with all the shifts that are taking place in entertainment and business, you know, I was in business for 21 years. I went in business right after I got saved and baptized with the Spirit, and he gave me dreams and visions, and he put me in business. I had no background, no experience, no money. I didn't have anything that would have been if necessary, but he began to give me dreams and visions and told me the product and the company and the name. And it happened when I read John's Gospel, as I fell in love with John's Gospel, and I didn't know, it was signified with an eagle. And he named my companies Eagle Systems, Eagle Monitoring, Eagle Security, you know, all Eagle. It was, they were five companies all in the security ring. I started with $300 in the basement of my house and three friends. And it's just amazing progression until I had like 240 employees. And in that business arena, I had a, an opportunity to minister in the marketplace continually. I could minister to people who would never go into a church. They're just never going to, they're just not going to go in here. And then he transitioned me into pulpit style ministry.
Right.
And there are different seasons and times, but I was very effective in that marketplace. Not only did I raise funds and was able to do things and give things, but I was able to minister to people who would never go into church.
Right.
And you could minister to them so many different ways.
Yeah.
You know what? It's not just the down and out, but it's the up and out.
Yeah.
You know, you sit in that desk and you put the desk in the corner and you're looking out. It's you against the world. You don't know who to trust and who not to trust.
Right.
You got so many barriers and walls up. There's a place of deep loneliness, and there's a place in a hole in every man's heart, no matter how much money they accumulate, no matter how much success they have, no matter how little or how large, there's a hole in your heart that only God can fill.
Father-shaped hole,
And it takes it, and it breaks and melts all those barriers that we put up to self-medicate and self-protect. And I had an opportunity to minister to a lot of business people, and I still do. I work with a group called the Band of Brothers, and there's about seven or eight chapters across the United States and Canada. I minister to the leaders and do a lot of mentoring with them, a man by the name
of... Who's the founder of that?
I'm sorry?
Who's the founder of Band of Brothers?
I don't know who the founder is.
John
the founder in
John
Canada.
Oh, Canada. Okay.
The founder in Canada is Jim Bowen.
Okay.
And he's the one that brings me to all the places, and I minister to the leaders prophetically, but it's actually a lay-run, lay-directed ministry, and they do boot camp weekends where they bring businessmen, professionals, all men only, and men on men, and on one of the boot camps, 50 to 70 people each time are going to come to know Christ, and many are going to come back to the Lord. And men need men, and business people need to be touched today and understand the purpose of why God's blessing them. And you can see lives changed and transformed. I love the Band of Brothers, and they're like a, they're like Promise Keeper on steroids. I mean, they I mean, they are full of the Holy Ghost power and all everything else that goes with it, but they're wonderful and unique.
We'll put on the screen that people that are maybe interested, they can actually get contacted with with a band of brothers. We're going to come right back to this amazing interview with Dr. Russ Moyer. Listen, comment below. What are your thoughts about what Russ Moyer is sharing, some of the thoughts we're talking about? We want to hear from your comments are very important to us. Comment below. Also, don't forget you can connect to us in the VFNKB community. Go to VFNKBcommunity.com. Join us after the break.
We'll be right back.
Once, in a faraway land, there was a child who was hurting and in need. But one day, that child was given a very special gift in a shoebox. Inside were wonderful things, incredible toys he had never seen before. And something else amazing happened. Through that simple gift, the child heard the gospel and became a disciple of Jesus. And everywhere the child went, he shared his faith with others. So just like that, his entire world was transformed by the love of Jesus Christ. And this is how millions of children discover good news and great joy through Operation Christmas Child.
Can I ask you a question? Are you tired of working harder and harder and seeing less and less of the success that you always dreamed about having? Well, I believe my book, I Will Fight 10 Strategies for Your Success, with its 502 wisdom nuggets can help. I mean, it's time to stop settling for mediocre. No more wallowing in defeat. Let hopelessness go. It's time to see the upside of life and begin winning again. I want to share with you timeless strategies I gathered over a lifetime that are proven, practical, and implementable. They've worked for me, they've worked for others, and I believe they're gonna work for you. I wanna help as many people as possible achieve success, kingdom success. That's why I wanna bless you with my book for free. That's right, I'll cover the cost of the book. You invest in the shipping and handling. I mean, there's nothing to think about, it's free. Claim your book, don't wait a second longer, and discover the breakthrough that's awaiting you.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You know, one of the reasons why, and I feel the same way you do, I think God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. It's His earth, His design. He speaks about the marketplace probably more than a lot of other things because, you know, it's not just in a building. We are the building of God. Yes. And so, you know, the frustration of helping, you know, you spend the first half of your life getting somebody into the building and the last half of the life trying to get them out. Should we have ever got in there at all? But the one thing when God spoke to me, that prophetic encounter about, you know, diamonds be, whistle blow, harvest come, you know, that this great wealth and the glory causing people to want to give and to be prepared, that they're not prepared. That's where the book, I Will Fight 10 Strategies for Success, came from, because it starts with that, what God wants to do, the prophetic word. But the rest of the book is 10 practical strategies, which you would know about. But the things that you need to do, understanding some biblical principles, but there's just some basic things you just do to succeed. And that's actually why the book was written for that very thing, because if you're not ready, you're not ready. What happens is money will go right through you and there's somebody on the side to take it because you didn't know how to manage. It's almost like you can give a 5-year-old, you know, a popsicle and a wagon, he's fine. But if you give him $500,000 in his wagon, he runs down the road, because he doesn't have the capacity for that, it's going to be gone. They're going to steal that from him. And we have to get prepared for that. And it's not pennies from heaven. It's the wisdom of God manifesting his purposes for the glory of God in the earth to accomplish what he wants to do with that. And if you look back at the past moves of God and back up from a financial standpoint, they were very expensive. It took a lot of finances to be able to mentor and disciple and to do all the things that you have to do, take national television and movement. And just in Brownsville alone, you know, we're toilet paper alone. It was amazing the things that we were purchasing and buying and replacing, refinishing and collecting and doing so that thousands of people can be touched. Well, that's going to happen everywhere. It's not going to be in a building. I think it's going to be street corners. It's going to be in prisons. It's going to be on military bases. And so... people's mindset, I love your mindset about that. It's like, it's, you know, be ready anywhere, everywhere, because it's going to happen.
Some people don't have a revelation of prosperity. Now, you know me, and I'm a holiness and repentance is a lot of my message, and equipping and empowering the saints, and the gifts of the Spirit. I'm not what you would call a prosperity preacher. Mm-hmm. But if somebody's preaching a poverty gospel, you got to get up and run.
Right.
Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to prosper you.
Right.
And he wants you to be successful.
Right.
He wants to make you like a light, like a candle in the window, and let everybody see what he can do with a consecrated life.
Right.
And it says there in Joshua 1:8, you know, to meditate upon this and to do it.
Right.
Meditate upon his word day and night and do it, and then you will be successful.
Yeah.
And he wants us to be successful. He's interested in our success.
Right.
In the natural and in the spirit, in family arenas, he wants us to be balanced and have success everywhere.
Right.
He wants us to walk a successful kingdom life. He wants us to build and to generate wealth. He wants us to leave an inheritance to our children,
right,
both spiritual and natural. You know, there are so many aspects of the heart of God that we don't want, even like the word shalom, and we think it's a greeting or something, but it's so much deeper than that in everything that it encompasses of life and wealth and abundance. And there's just, it's a beautiful thing. And God wants to be in every aspect of your life, and he wants you to prosper as your soul prospers.
Right.
He wants you to learn the principles of sowing and reaping and the biblical models so that you can sow with purpose, sow with faith, sow biblically, receive biblically.
Right.
I want to do it according to the biblical structures. And I don't know, I want to do it systematic because I want to be a systematic reaper.
Right.
So my whole life has been sown and reaped, and I live by faith.
Right. Yeah,
so
same here. We're here because God said do it.
Yeah.
So I think about, you know, Paul's writing to Timothy, and he says, Timothy, you know, that, you know, be careful about, you know, those who, you know, it's the love of money, which is the root of all evil. It reveals a person's heart, that people who make that their primary focus end up falling to all kinds of weird things, and you see it in their life. But then he says, but the person who has wealth, this is what you should do with the wealth. And I think about Betsy DeVos. She's the head of education in America right now. She's flying, you know, her family invented the visor mirror for the car that lights up. Her husband, I believe, was the founder of a Amway company. And she's paying for her own jet, her own travel to educate her kids. She's using that wealth, and has most of her life, to be able to do those kind of things. And so that it's, you know, it's obviously, if your soul's not prospering, you got to do that first, because you're going to wrongly perceive great wealth. It's just going to be, it's probably going to lead you astray and take you somewhere. But I think about that. I write about it this way in the book, is that, and you see people just run to the mission field. It's like, yeah, you need wisdom. We've got to talk about this. Let's pray about this. Launch related, launch right. Study the people group. Fall in love with the people group. Do it wisely. And so then they survive, because I've known people that go there and immediately die or get hurt or get sick, come back offended with God. Yeah. So I see the business arena. When you're serious about, God, I want to be one that you can use to bless with great wealth so that it can advance your purposes in the earth, you got to enter that the same way you would if you're going to go to the Congo. You got to, you know, you got to say Congo and say, you know, I need to be accountable. I need to write down why I'm doing what I'm doing. I got to find people in the kingdom who has great wealth and begin to understand and be mentored by them. I have to have all those things that you would do. And with the fear and trembling, you need to approach everything you're doing, because just like anywhere else, you know, wealth can destroy you. But also go into the wrong mindsets of going to a mission field without preparing for that. I think you've got to prepare yourself for something like that. We're going to come right back to this amazing interview with Dr. Russ Moyer. Listen, comment below. What are your thoughts about what Russ Moyer is sharing, some of the thoughts we're talking about? We want to hear from your comments. Are very important to us. Comment below. Also, don't forget, you can connect to us in the VFNKB community. Go to VFNKBcommunity.com. Join us after the break.
We'll be right back.
Did you know that Jesus himself said, apart from abiding in him, that we can accomplish nothing? So many people want to be able to do that, but you know what? They don't have a plan to do it. We put together a simple plan for you, and it's at iabide.org. iabide.org. Go there and request your plan today. It is amazing how your life will change when you begin to spend time with Him who created the universe. He's been desiring that you would do that. It's at iabide.org. Request your simple plan today.
We call it Nonviolence 365. Nonviolence is a way of life for courageous people. Nonviolence seeks to win friendship and understanding. Nonviolence seeks to defeat injustice and not people. Nonviolence chooses love instead of hate. That's my father's philosophy and methodology of nonviolence.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You don't know the fullness of my testimony, but I was in business and I was very, very successful and I had a lot of money. And then when he called me into pulpit ministry, he had me to sell off all of this wealth. Right. And people say, well, you know, when somebody hears that, they think they have to do that. No, that was my walk.
Right.
It was because two reasons, I believe, that. Why that had to happen to me at that point in my life was first that I identified with that in so many ways that had hooks in me.
Right.
He didn't want me to bring that into the kingdom because that would have confused things for me as he was starting me in a brand new walk of faith. Mm-hmm. And I identified with my success, with my position. I would have thought that my money made it so I could.
Right.
Or, you know what I mean? Because one of the things that bothered me the most was that when people would call you a self-made man, that's the last thing I ever want to be. I want to be a God-made man.
Yeah.
And he called me to let go of those things because they had a hold of me.
Yeah, I understand.
And anything that you hold on to, you don't have a hold of it, it has a hold of you.
You can't serve both God
and
money, you're going to be conflicted.
Everything, including pastoral work, ministry, whatever it is, everything we do, we have to do with an open hand.
Yeah.
We have to know that we're stewards and that he puts it in our hands so he can get it out of our hands. Mm-hmm. We have to pastor with an open hand and an open heart.
Right.
We have to know that people are going to come and go at different times. Mm-hmm. And we just have to let them be free. It all belongs to God.
It's all here.
Ain't nobody going out with a U-Haul.
Nope.
Hello? You know, we're going to go out the same way we come in, naked as a jaybird.
Neck of the day,
and what we're going to do is come face to face with God.
Right.
But all of this that we have now, if we stored it properly, mm-hmm. it'll all turn, and everything needs to be sown into the kingdom.
Yes.
Once you get a revelation of sowing and reaping, then you want to turn everything in your life into seed. Mm. Not just your finances, but your time, your intelligence, your creativity,
energy.
Your experience, your energy, everything needs to be turned into seed so that everything you do comes with you sowing seed, you don't have to worry about the harvest.
Right.
You sow it into the Lord of the harvest. You sow it into his kingdom.
Right.
And his eye, his eye is on your harvest.
Mm.
His heart is for your harvest. Mm. His eye is on your seed. He looks at that seed and he sees that seed. Sometimes we think, well, I sowed that seed into a place and who knows, you know what? He knows how to move your seed around so it's right where you need it. He knows your heart when you gave it, and he's all about the heart.
Right.
And if you sow it into a wrong situation, God knows how to reposition your seed. Your seed is going to be ready when you're there. I never want to step into a field that I haven't seeded in one way or another.
Yeah.
So still today, as I'm in a great season of harvest and reaping for the last 15 or 20 years, I'm still sowing. I'm sowing as hard as I can.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have to concern myself with reaping.
Right.
I have to concern myself with sowing.
Right.
And the Lord of the harvest is going to take care. And he's going to put that golden sickle in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
And everywhere, I'm going to tell you what, it's harvest time.
Right.
Hey, if you're out there now, you watching out there, this is harvest time. Let him put that golden sickle in your hand. And you can begin to reap and begin to harvest. But don't forget the seed.
Yeah.
You seed and seed time and harvest. There, as long as there's night and day, hot and cold. It's not going to stop seed time and harvest. You just, everything in your life, turn it into seed.
Mm.
Everything.
And if what you have in your hand doesn't meet your need, then what's just in your hand is your seed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So many people eat their seed. We're so far away from the agricultural mindsets because we're so blessed that 2%, I think, farm for all of America. But if you don't put the butter bean seed in the ground, you're never going to have butter beans to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but we're so far away from planting and reaping the way that it works. But God's designed everything to be that way, you know, to plant the seed. And what happens when the seed dies, it produces the whole DNA of every butter bean that ever could be is in that one seed. You know what I'm saying? Mm. I'm saying butter beans because we're down south. But
Come on now with butter beans.
Yeah, you like butter beans too.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. You know, so yeah, I see too where it's not what we're doing all the time and it's never anything but Jesus, you know. So when he gives us things, he entrusts things to us, you know, that's got to stay consecrated to him in the context of that. But I've seen, you know, that self-made man say, well, I'm going to make all the money and then I'm going to pay for my own trip and I'm going to be in the mission field. And of course, what happened was he made all the money, was very successful. Then God took it all from him and then God launched him into to the mission field. He wants that dependency on us. So we never depend on anything other than God. And so right. We start leaning on ministry, leaning on anything other than him, finance, you know, it's easy to start landing on comfort and convenience, which is America's kind of plagued, I think, with comfort
and
convenience.
Yeah, and we can't get our identity mixed up with what we do.
Yes, who do
we? We have to identify really with who we are in Christ, who this Christ is in us, who am I with him in relationship with him? Because it all comes back to relationship. Mm-hmm. Everything is birthed out of a place of relationship, whether you're a kingdom wealth builder, anointed for business, whether you're in the political arena or whether you're in entertainment, whether you're in ministry, in a church, whether you're a pastor or a leader or an evangelist, no matter where you're at, everything that you do needs to come from a place of legitimate relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about relationship.
Right.
And anything we minister from, whether it's in finances or whatever, we have to minister from that place.
Right.
Inside of us where we have relationship with him.
Right. You can tell the difference too when you're talking to somebody who's just moving out of something other than relationship. Because it's where Jesus abides. He abides whether there's two or more gathered in his name, he's there. Obviously we have him with us, but it's his love for us. And how you know his love for us is the fact that you're experiencing that with others. And that love with him, love God, love others, and lead others to the same. That's our whole theme.
It's about love.
Yeah, it's about love.
It's
a great commandment,
love.
Right? Listen, I hate to interrupt, but listen, we're going to come back for this full interview. Join us in our next program. We're going to finish the interview with Dr. Russ Moyer. It gets better from here. But I want to pray with you right now. Father God, I just pray a blessing over our audience. God, I thank you for them right now as they're watching on their televisions, watching on their online presence, everywhere they are around the world, God. Encourage them, Father God. All those that are abiding with you, Lord, inspire them with your voice, Father God. We thank you for those that need healing, that need encouragement. God, encourage them. We ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And God, we ask you, dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray, in Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to the same. And we'll see you in the VFNKB community.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.